Hello, everyone. Tracy here, your resident business rebel, and you're listening to Digital Business Your Way podcast, the show that lets true stories and insider secrets of online entrepreneur life unfold. Our business world is growing, and as an online business coach and digital product creator, I believe you didn't become an entrepreneur to grin and bear your way through business. So I'll be your guide as we drop in on coaching calls, have intimate sit-downs with online personalities you love, and discuss ideas, opportunities, and strategies circulating our online world. So pop in your earbuds, tap follow, and join me as I demystify this thing called business. Hello, hello, Tracy here, and welcome back to Digital Business Your Way. Today's episode, it's a little more intimate than usual. This is one of those conversations that I normally have inside containers with clients, with people who've already opted in. But I want to bring it here first because this podcast isn't a content cog for me. It's a place where you actually get to hear how I think. Yeah. So before we go any further, I want to orient you to where we're going today. Okay, so you can just relax into listening instead of trying to mentally organize everything as we go, right? So here's what I'm going to walk you through. So first, I'm going to share how I think about selling, at a foundational level, and why my sales process looks the way it does, right? Then I'll show you how that thinking really plays out in real offers, with concrete examples from my business. And so we'll look at Boost the Offer of Your Value in a Day, and we'll talk about your launch style so you can see the philosophy in action instead of just hearing the theory, right? And not just in theory, because if that doesn't click, well, then what's the point, right? So as we go, I'll connect those decisions to some of the bigger concepts around loyalty, influence, and trust, but hopefully without turning this into a boring lesson or a checklist, all right? Because this isn't a do-it-like-me episode. I mean, none of mine ever are. It's about opening your mind and giving you the full information of choice that you have, right? And it's not some pitch. It's definitely never, ever a judgment on how you've sold in the past, all right? So think of this more like we're sitting at a table with me while I explain how I see something and then noticing what starts to kind of click for you as you listen. All right? Good? So I want to start with a sentence that usually makes people pause for a second. My best prices are not for strangers. So that sentence alone usually brings up a lot of conditioning. A lot of, oh, but you're supposed to do this. And if you're not doing that, then how do you do this part? Right? Well, all of that comes from a lot of that urgency-based logic that in our industry, we've been swimming in for decades. But my one sentence, it holds a lot of my sales philosophy inside of it. Because at the core, I sell from the assumption that I'm building a long-term relationship. I'm not chasing a one-time yes. I'm not extracting urgency, not resetting every single launch like people in my world have amnesia, right? But it's an ongoing, continuous relationship, which means that my sales process is one of the loudest expressions of my values. It's not in my bio. It's not in a mission statement somewhere. But it's who hears about things first, who gets access, how pricing works over time, and what happens after someone, they've already said yes, and they're already with you, right? Because that's where your values show up in the doing, right? This is why existing clients hear about things before anybody else. And it's why the email list and you, podcast listener, gets access before thinking about social media, right? And then why broader platforms, like when I guest speak, those even come later. Once a foundation of context and clarity have had the opportunity to be in place. Because attention is a form of consent and proximity matters. So when people who are already in my world, you don't need to hear things louder. You need to be respected better. So that's also why loyalty in my business, it's not a vibe or a feeling. It's structural. And to make that real, I'll walk you through a concrete example, because this is where a lot of people can either feel that, oh, okay, yeah, this is a nice relief, and hopefully have those like light bulb moments of the options and the opportunities that you have. Okay, so let's talk about Boost. So full name, Boost the Value of Your Offer in a Day. It didn't start out the way it is now, right? You know, like a lot of us, we have ideas, we have projects, and they evolve over time. So Boost, it started as an exercise that didn't even have a name. It's just an exercise that I do with my one-on-one clients, either in ongoing coaching, in like intensive experiences, those kinds of things. It was very intimate, very high touch, very like instantly adjusted for the person. And I had a lot of people saying, oh, can we do this in my group? Right? Like for me to come in and guest in other people's groups with this process. And I loved the idea, but it's like, how can I take something that I mean, it's really bespoke for every single person and do it on this larger scale? Well, we experiment, right? We see who will hold up their hand and go on this experimentation ride with us. So what that looked like with Boost is that it became a live workshop. And then as we kind of working out the kinks and getting the feedback, then it became a recorded mini course, because there was just the basic things. Because the whole concept of Boost is that you can do it within 3 hours. If you can sit down for 3 hours, you can get this done, right? Super quick, super intense, you know, super just kind of working through it and really letting it live and breathe and get into the business, okay? But over time, it's evolved into a fuller program. So there's more assets for support. There's more examples of what does this look like in your type of business versus this other type of business, right? Adding in that bespoke layer. And there's more support. There's more support for me. There's more support from the community. You know, there's a way for people to really get to go through this at your own pacing, because not everybody likes to do things in bursts. So what does it look like if you need to take that 3 hour experience and turn it into 3 weeks or 3 days or, you know, a month, right? So how does that kind of like time frame? Where can you break? Where can you, you know, answer calls, get on a Zoom, pick up the kids, like all those kinds of things. Okay. So I knew as this experiment was becoming available for a mass audience, right? We needed to have this flexibility, and it was going to evolve and things were going to be added. So that was the promise. You know, it was a come try it with me. This is what you get and all this other stuff, right? Because the growth wasn't random. I did not know what it was going to look like. But I knew that I needed a structure of support. So as the library of examples and the different support pieces inside of Boost, they have grown in direct response to what the humans who are inside the program have asked for. Yeah, as they've implemented. And this is an on-demand, like it's anybody can go and buy it like right now. So it's how does this need to look for that? So as the offer evolved, because the people inside evolved. Which, of course, at a certain point, the price also evolved. It went from being included, which, I mean, it's still an exercise I do with my one-on-ones, but to a $47 experiment, to a $197 for the mini course version, and now it's at $497. And walking in at that, it gives you any future updates and everything else that goes along with that, right? So the easiest thing in the world would have been to, you know, draw a line in the sand and say, well, it's bigger now. So that's just the price. It doesn't matter if someone hopped in the experiment when it was 47, everybody now is at 497. But that's not the full story. And that's not the kind of contract that I made with my people, especially those who were willing to go in and experiment with me, right? I knew that I wanted to honor that faith. I knew I wanted to honor that trust, and I just wanted to kind of have the freedom to see where this everything was going. Yeah. So during the live workshop phase, I'd already told them that if certain conditions were met, like implementation by a certain time, doing the work, right, that they would be able to access the full program at a price they were told during the workshop. So you came into the live experiment, and that was like one part together. But inside of the recorded and expanded version, there's all these other assets, all these other like support things, a place for you to ask questions to me anytime, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you completed this one part with me at 47, but then the 197 bigger part, which is now 497 because it's even bigger, right? How that was going to work for them. So they came into the workshop, they did the work, they implemented, right? And then they realize, oh, I do want to keep going. I do want those other assets. I do want to be able to ask a question because there's more they want to extract from what they've already started. So even after a public price changed to $497, the people who had walked in and experimented with me were still given that $197, even when the price difference was more significant, right? Even when it would have been simpler to be like, well, here's the link. This is it. And it wasn't just a case of, grandfathering or founding, because really they'd already done the part that they had paid for. This was an upgrade all around, right? But I had chosen with these people to have an agreement. And this is the part that often gets missed. The honoring of our agreement, it wasn't emotional. It wasn't guilt-based. It didn't come from me scrambling around in my head or from emails or DM, conversations or any other thing like that. It came from a pre-decided structure. I honored their effort and their commitment. They honored the process by actually doing the work and continuing forward. So because we both held our end of the deal, well, that right there, that's loyalty in practice. Yeah. So we can back up a little bit more and kind of connect the dots more explicitly, where you're not trying to, imagine this offer in your head and all of the multiple layers that have happened, right? Because where a lot of people miss this concept, and you might have even like within the Boost example work, right? Nothing that I just talked about is actually about pricing. It was all about the pre-decisions. The reason that situation didn't turn into an emotional spiral for me, for the buyer, is because the decision wasn't made in real time. It was never made on how much I liked someone or a certain cohort, how persuasive their message was, or how comfortable it would have been to say no or to say yes or anything else. The structure already existed. The conditions were already stated and agreed upon. The timeline was clear. The effort required was clear. So when someone met those conditions, the decision was already made, right? It was just a natural progression. And this is the part I really want you to hear. Because pre-deciding, it doesn't make your business rigid. It makes it calm and gives you support, because you're not renegotiating your values every single time somebody's buying from you or every single time your offer grows and evolves and changes. This kind of structures, it supports you first. They support your nervous system, your energy, your ability to show up without bracing for that next, quick question, right? And then when you make those structures visible, right, when they're public, they support your audience too and your buyers. It's why I care so much about clearly stated buying policies. It's why I don't leave things vague, or I try not to do 1,000 just in cases, right? Because clarity builds trust a lot faster than charisma ever will. And when people know how you operate, well, they feel safer opting in, because they don't have to guess. They don't have to hope that the rules won't change mid-game, right? There's no opportunity there to inherently build in a feeling of unfairness. So once you see this, you start to notice how often selling feels heavy simply because the structure isn't doing its job, right? Because there is that unfairness. There is that, well, what about this? There is that, I feel better today versus the other day, or this group is really cool, or, you know, how do I give this a discount or this or that, right? Now, the same way of thinking, pre-deciding, honoring commitment, rewarding proximity, it shows up very clearly in how I've worked with other groups. Like when I've had friends of the show come on and their programs are linked in, like Gemma Bonham Carter. You know, when Gemma came in and we were talking about AI, I have a locked in friend of the show discount for her AI All-Stars that I get to give to you guys over and over again, right? It's in the show notes. So it's also a case of like, who's listening? Who's looking at, you know, where are they digging through to grab those links, right? So it honors that kind of that fun, that relationship, that longevity, that loyalty, right? And it's in how I've designed your launch style. So let's connect that a little bit more, especially because that program being open for the group versus, again, one-on-one, you can tell like how I'm more comfortable, right? It's always a expansion to be able to do things as a group versus for individuals. So let's talk about this one. So over the last year, you might have noticed that I've been talking about launch styles, right? Like as a concept and in a few different ways and definitely on several platforms, but within my own ecosystem, there's the limited podcast series that came out in conjunction with the show. It was just on a different day and it had the name that, you know, said it was a limited podcast series, right? Not private because I didn't want to put it behind a opt-in wall for that particular case. I wanted it to be very public, very searchable, very, I'm interested in this. Where do I go? Right? So you can hear this show in a more focused way about all the concepts and other people's experiences. But then there's also a style training that gives you access to the full workshop experience that was the live experience. And you can still find that at tracypatterson.com/style if you want to, you know, kind of go down that rabbit hole, right? And see what this example is. But the training itself, the paid training, it didn't come out of nowhere. That was the live workshop that I did last spring whenever it was like, hey, this program's out here. You know, who wants to see all that, right? But since that was the live experience and I wanted this work to be available on a more ongoing basis, then in addition to the free podcast series, there's also another layer in there that actually like explains what the styles are. Right? Because I wanted to give people a way to experience the work, to feel themselves inside the concepts before deciding what they wanted next. And this kind of work, it's very, very different from the way that we have traditionally been told to do it in the online space. And it's even different than a lot of my clients teach themselves, right? So I wanted to give people enough time to get comfortable and conscious with the concepts that we're talking about. So the pathway became very intentional. So free access to understand what your style is and that there's even options in how you launch that can be successful, that can work out really well, often better than how you've been doing it before. Yeah. Then there's the paid workshop to deepen the specific concepts. And for the people who want the support, they want the implementation, you know, they want the proximity to the group and to myself, then there's the actual group program, your launch style. None of that was accidental. Did it grow over time? Absolutely. Did I make different assets that came out of conversations with people, those who hadn't experienced this yet? Absolutely. But in the same philosophy that you saw when I was talking about the Boost example, this is just applied on a different scale to your launch style, right? Because there's 5 weeks of coaching with me. There's the collaboration introduction. So you can find like, you know, your next guest platform. So you can find affiliate partners, like all those kinds of things. There are assets designed to support your specific launch style and help you transition from how you've done it before versus like generic templates or my one method or anything else. It's highly, highly bespoke. So once you've gone through the program, there's also the option for continued access to the assets, including the AI model that helps you create and adapt your launch assets according to your style without having to go back through the entire group program again. Unless, of course, you want to. You're always welcome to come back, especially if you want the coaching side, right? Because again, it's not about forcing repetition. It's about supporting continuity and what pieces someone's going to need at what part, right? And this year, your launch style, it's debuting at last year's price for the final time, but not as a panic tactic, not as like a dangling discount, but because there's a clear moment where honoring the people who are ready for now, it matters, you know, and first access matters and exclusive bonuses matter, especially for the people who are itching to get started and want every advantage when they're putting a new system in place, right? The way people enter a container should reflect the work inside it. So your launch style is all about freedom. It's about expression. It's about feeling at home in your business. So the sales experience, well, it needs to echo that, not contradict it, right? So when you zoom out, you'll start to see the through line of these two examples. It's why my best prices aren't for strangers. They're for people who've spent time here, who've paid attention, who've taken action, right? Who've built that relationship with the work and the process that they're going through, because none of it is in isolation. It's not exclusion for the sake of it. It's respecting the journeys, even the bonuses that are included, the way that in Boost somebody can submit their specific example, and I give a recorded walkthrough of what it looks like and how your sales copy changes and what to do in different like call scenarios or anywhere else that you need to talk about your offer, right? On page, verbally, video, etc. And that then gets recorded and added to the library for everybody. But it is your independent feedback on your things and how in your launch style this year, when people are opting in at a certain speed, like like the first five, probably maybe the first three, I haven't quite decided yet, you'll get gifted a brand photo shoot for yourself. So I'm giving you an entire full day, just you, you know, doesn't have to be done with us or anybody else, a photo shoot. So that way we can really honor and play with the outward expression of all of the inside work that you've done, right? You know, because whenever you have changed how you are launching an offer, well, you want that to carry through in how you're able to promote it. And I mean, you know, we all need video and photo assets and all that other kind of stuff that comes with being in an online space. So why not let that be part of the program, right? That those are those kind of like beautiful moments. Because whenever we talk about selling differently, especially when we critique how things are like commonly done, I want to be very clear about something. Urgency itself is not a problem. So like time-based decisions, the first three, the first whatever, that's not inherently manipulative, okay? And price changes are not out of integrity at all, you know, especially as things grow. Scarcity doesn't have to be evil, right? The issue isn't using the concept of urgency itself, okay? The issue is using it as the only lever every single time, regardless of whether or not it's real. So I want to name this explicitly because I don't want anybody listening to this and, you know, quietly think, oh God, did I mess up? Did I betray my values like every single time I open doors to something? Did I just do selling wrong? Because no, you didn't. Most of us learned to sell in environments where urgency was framed as the strategy, not even a strategy, right? Where it's one of many. No, it was the strategy, the way to do it. Put on, you know, timing blasters and deadline funnels and make sure people comply by this certain point. So if you've used it, it doesn't mean you failed. It doesn't mean you were working, you know, in any way that didn't have to happen. It was more whenever you started to feel, why don't I want to do this? Why isn't this working like it used to? Why? Right? You were just working with the tools that you were given at the time. And now we have this more, right? That's why I care so much about giving you choice and understanding of the concepts behind the choice. So that way you can pick apart any of the pieces that you do want and leave behind anything that you don't without any sort of panic of, you know, is this right? Will this work? All that kind of stuff. Because using influence consciously instead of like reflexively, that's that like fun switch moment of, oh, I'm not just following a prescription. I'm not just doing this because I have to. It's like, this is what this can really look like. Yeah. So here's the lens that I use to decide whether something is aligned or not. So it's not a checklist. It's a way to tell. And I call these guiding questions. So I use guiding questions in different programs. And these are the ones that I use overall for selling. So first off, is the urgency real? Right? Is there an actual constraint? Time, capacity, access, energy, support? Something tangible that will change so you can transparently name the type of urgency? Or was it invented to force a decision that someone hasn't had time to make yet? Especially because you were told and you've seen, you know, quote unquote work in other programs that there has to be pressure to create action. I mean, good heavens. It's like, you know, humans aren't capable of doing anything unless they're forced to do it. How does that make everybody feel, you know? And what's the cascading effect of that, right? So the second question, is urgency the only lever being pulled? Or is it one of several? Because when everything is urgent, well, nothing actually is, right? I mean, even the concept of having like a priority list, priority as its whole was actually singular. And we have used it so often that we now have to rank what was supposed to meant to be a singular thing. So we have, you know, a ranking of priorities, right? So when everything is urgent, nothing is. And we feel it in our bodies. We feel it in the frustration. We feel it in the pressure. Is that how you want your humans to feel? You know? So third guiding question would be, will I stand by this decision if someone said no? Or would I panic and wonder what to do next? Right? Not no because they missed the deadline. Guess I better do a surprise redo because nobody acted in this time frame. So I guess I got the time frame wrong. Let me reopen it and do it again. Not no because this isn't the right fit for me right now. So what would it take to make it a yes? Right? How many times have you seen that modeled? Well, if they don't say yes right now, then find out what it'll take. I mean, good Lord, not everything has to be a haggle. And my thoughts often when someone asks me that, it's like, just leave me the fuck alone, you know? It's like that. That's what it would take to ever get a yes from me. Because right now, my opinion of you is sinking fast, right? And again, it's like, do we want our humans to feel like that when they come with us? So if the answer is that, you know, yes, you can stand by this decision no matter people's reactions without any resentment, well, then, you know, you're most likely operating in integrity. Because those questions, they save me, they save my clients from so much second guessing. They also help you design offers where selling feels like a support instead of a pressure. Which brings me to the last piece that I want to leave you with. Selling's job is not to create a yes. You've heard me say this 1,000 times by now. Selling's job is to give someone enough information so they can make a decision. A yes, a no, a not yet. I'm not sure about me, but oh my God, this would be perfect for my friend, right? All of those are successful outcomes because clarity becomes the goal, not compliance. So when someone has enough information to say no with confidence, your selling worked. When someone says not yet and stays in your world, you know trust was built. When someone says yes because it fits, not because they were cornered, that's sustainability. This is why I don't want to build a business that requires me to start over every time I sell. I don't want to rebuild trust from scratch with every single offer or every single month. I don't want to reset expectations. I don't want to pretend people haven't been paying attention. I want continuity. I want people to learn how I operate, to know how access works, how pricing works, how loyalty works and is honored. So when something opens, like your launch style, it's not a shock. It's a next step. And whether someone says yes now, later, never, they can make that decision from a grounded place, full of the info that they needed, right? That's the kind of selling I want to model. And that's the kind of coaching I do. One where structure does the heavy lifting, so I have room to evolve and grow and play and experiment. Where trust compounds instead of resets. Where the experience of buying feels as considered as the work itself. So if you're listening and you're feeling that kind of subtle shift, that sense of, oh, I'm starting to see this everywhere now, that's exactly what this episode was meant to do. This is about orientation. And in the next episode, we can think about it kind of like a part two to this, because I'm going to zoom out away from the practical and concrete examples and go through the actual principles of influence that have informed all of this process and most of our modern selling, right? Where they came from, how they're meant to be used, how to choose what exactly fits you without second guessing yourself. So for now, if this has resonated, let me know, please. And share it with someone who's been feeling off about selling, but couldn't quite name it, you know, who doesn't want to go into this next stage with that same old burden. And if you're not on the email list, well, that's where you're going to hear things first, right? Clients first, email list, podcast, then everything else. Because strangers don't get the best prices. Relationships do. So until we talk in the next episode, be well. And have some fun. Thank you for joining me here on Digital Business Your Way. Be sure to check out the show notes for all the links mentioned today. And while you're there, I'd love for you to rate and review the show. And if you have a topic or question you want me to answer, I want to hear it. Head to tracypatterson.com/AMA and ask me anything about business. If I don't know it, I'll bring it up with one of my guests. And until next week, be well and have some fun.